Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's conference call. And today is the deal analysis call where you get to bring your deals on board. I'm your host, Nathan. And kicking off another new month. Gosh, you know, I read a post the other day, or maybe it was just a quick message that said there's only 4 months left until the end of the year. Gosh, it seems like 2018 has just like zipped right by us really quickly. And since we're past the 6 month mark, are you happy with your results? Are you happy with where you've come? And you don't have to measure that by dollars and cents. You don't have to measure that by how many deals you've done all the time. Sometimes we can set these really high goals and not reach them, but yet we've grown a lot in the mix. I know me personally, for example, 2018, we did not reach the amount of deals that we wanted to do, but we had quite unique opportunities that presented itself that is going to be even bigger or completed in 2019. That can happen sometimes, but don't let it disappoint you, because this entire business comes with a huge learning curve, and it also comes with a never-ending spirit and mindset of never giving up. But what's most important along the way, as we continue on this journey, is that you stay plugged in, you stay active, you stay making offers, and just continue to use tools and software and mentorships to continue to help you to move forward. Those things are proven and tried and true along the way. So as we go into today's call about deal analysis, I want to let you know in the beginning that get your questions on here. We'll get them answered. I'll open it up with a unique, some updates, because I know we have some updates from other students that have been on the call from the previous call we did. I hope they're on here today to share some of their updates and success from our previous call. But in addition to that, I usually like to open up to a story or an example of something that's recently happened in my business, and we can all reflect on it as well. But unique situation happened about a month ago, and I think I brought it up on the call last time, on our previous call. The unique situation was there was a bankruptcy, the bank foreclosed on the house and a bunch of assets from the seller, and the seller's estate and everything with it. I mean, it was just multiple buildings and all these properties. And anyway, so one of the buildings is now currently, because I had a lien on the property and with this business partner, the property is now mine after all is said and done. And I have the ability to sell the property. So this is a very unique situation. So because it's a previous business partner from a few, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago or less, if I sold the property right now, I would make a bunch of money. Let's put it that way, okay? I'd make probably, the building's worth $800,000. The loan, the debt owed on the property is about $250,000. So if I sold it right now, I could make a nice spread. Okay, and that would be of whatever, 600, whatever, 550, 580, 600,000 euros. If I did that, it's going to probably tarnish the relationship even more with my previous business partner on the deal. Okay, it would just make it look like I've cashed out on the deal and made a boatload of money while he's going through a boatload of financial situation and burden, all that kind of stuff, right? So not a very good situation to be in. This is where judgment calls come in. And this comes up on a regular basis, I know, for many investors, where they're constantly dealing with judgment calls and all that stuff. Anyway, long story short, I'm getting over back to Portugal probably within a month to go, finalize this transaction and probably turn it into, I have a multiple opportunity to turn it into multiple short-term rentals or a small hotel. So pertaining to deal analysis, what do I have to do? Now, you know, I do most of my real estate investing virtually, right, from overseas. I can be, whether it's in Portugal or Uganda, and I invest heavily in North and South Carolina and in Texas, but I do that all virtually. However, for a project of this magnitude, for a bigger project, you have to get in there. You have to be, boots on the ground and go to the property, most importantly, building relationships. And you have to know the culture of the place that you're investing in. You have to know the culture. And that's, I don't care if you're investing in Alabama or you're investing in Boston, Massachusetts. It doesn't matter. You have to know the ways of the culture in that area. If that specific market is not familiar with doing everything virtually, but you want to invest there, then you might have to take a few trips down there to that market. You know, now pretty much in the U.S., everyone is familiar with doing it virtually. But I know personally right here for Portugal, they are not familiar with doing things virtually at all. So I have to go there physically. And then the project of this magnitude, I have to do walkthroughs. I have to analyze business partners, go with the bank, meet up with the banks and the lenders and all that stuff. So anyway, really unique situation. But I guess this opening story here has two parts to it. One, the deal analysis. You have to be there because it's a bigger project. You have to be there physically. But number two, what's most important is judgment calls, right? When you're dealing with business partners, and by the way, if you've ever dealt with a business partner before, or if you haven't yet, I highly recommend it. Now, this situation is a very unique one. It could go, it's going kind of, not south, but it's got a little gray area to it at the way everything's currently standing. But here's the thing. Business partners can actually help you get more opportunities than you would if you were on your own. And most people work on their own in their business, which is also known as the solopreneur. But what really helps is if you have someone to hold you accountable or if there's someone that can assist you on the deal part. A perfect example, and since we're talking about deal analysis calls, many of you know I invest virtually, but I don't do the front end of my business. You probably heard this from me multiple times. I don't do the front end. What I mean by the front end is I don't go look for the property. I don't find it. I don't put out the yard signs. I don't analyze and make the first offer, right? So I do. There's a bunch of things that I've delegated into the front end, the deal analysis part, the deal capturing part. On the front end of the deal, I delegate that to someone else. I bring in partners. And that's because I know what I'm good at, and I focus on the one thing that I'm really good at. So I wanted to share that with you because as you build your business, you should delegate. It's very difficult to build a bigger business without delegation, whether it's a virtual assistant or whether it's business partners. I like to call them deal hunters or someone you could profit share with, maybe someone you bring in your business as an acquisition manager to help you do one side of the business. Things like that. Delegation will help launch your business a lot faster. All right. So I wanted to kind of open up with that and let you know a little bit, a little bit of what I'm working on over the next month and two. And also about when you're doing, business partnerships, that sometimes you just have to have good judgment calls, which is always a learning experience as well in building relationships. So it's one of the most important parts. You've probably heard it multiple times. If you're not building good relationships in business, your business is probably going a little slow. But when you build relationships on a regular basis, strong ones, good communication, and follow up with people, you'll do business a lot faster. All right? Okay. So now I know this is a deal analysis call, but listen, if you also have any other questions, which I hope you do, is bring it on board the call. Don't hesitate to share it. Even if it's not pertaining to one particular deal, that's okay. If it's something that you're struggling with your business or a challenge, let's get those answered also. All right? So let's open up the doors. And the first one in, just jump on in there and get your first question out on the call.
Hi, Ryan. This is Cheryl from St. Louis.
Hi, Cheryl. It's Nathan.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Running through the deal in my head, so I'll call you here.
You can call me anything as long as we're talking business. Okay. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Nathan. So Russ isn't here right now, so I ran by this deal with him, and we didn't really come to a consensus. I have a a house that I'm going to go look at Monday. It's okay. been a rental property with the same person for 12 years. The man that called from a postcard I sent out. It's a 1,700 square feet. I think he's counting basement square footage because none of the sold comps in the neighborhood are that big.
Okay.
He says there's no repairs, but of course it's been a rental for a long time, so I'm sure it's not been updated. Mm-hmm. He said he wanted 113, and then when I called him back and told him that that was what the houses were selling for, and I couldn't really do that, he said he'd be willing to go down to 100. So I've been assessing this deal, going to go look at it on Monday. And so there's a lot of what ifs. It appears by the tax records that he owns the property free and clear. Sold comps, it looks like the most I could get with respect to updating and would be 130 for
okay.
sell it outright. So okay. in talking about deals, I guess there's the possibility of selling it outright. It would probably have to be updated with okay. flooring and maybe some kitchen or bathroom updates.
Okay.
Of course, I'm not positive about that because I have to see it Monday, but it looks like maximum value is going to be right around 130. There's another option that Russ and I do frequently would be to have him hold the property, because one of the little bit of a problems we have is we'd have to get private money, so we'd have to come up with private money to buy the house for 100, which is a possibility. But another slant we could look at would be to have him hold the property and us lease option it to someone, and then he'd be holding the property probably for 1 to 2 years, and then we could sell it. You know, and then the thing about that is people are usually so happy to get into a home that we just need to make sure that it's reasonably livable and clean, but then we don't have to do updates to it, but we could still sell it for the on a lease with an option to own for the 130 range
right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments on possibilities? I know there's a lot of ambiguity in this, but...
Well, the first thing is, could you just give me the estimate of repairs one more time based on what you've heard so far? I know you're going to walk through it on Monday, but could you give me the estimate of repairs?
He said there are no repairs, but he said that the owner would probably think there were repairs. I suspect it needs all new flooring, and it probably needs to get the comparables up to the okay range. It's probably going to need some kitchen updates, you know, appliances, or maybe even cabinets. If one person's been living in there 12 years without anything done to it.
Right.
And the renter is on month to month. And she's trying to leave, but she's looking for a place to live.
Okay. All right. Well, based on the numbers, I'm factoring just what you kind of set off for repairs, 8,000. That might be a little low. I don't know. Anywhere between 8 and 13, based on what you're saying. And if you were to just do it at an AR, if you were just to wholesale the deal, I don't think the numbers are going to work unless this guy is willing and motivated, like super motivated.
Because
you're gonna have to be like under 80, you know. So it could be a lease option situation. It could be, you know.
Oh. All right.
I think you're better off going that direction. Otherwise, If I did an ARV of 125, you said a max of 130, so I'm doing 125 as a concern, you know, slightly lower number.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm bringing up the numbers to about 80% investment to value. And depending on what you want to make for a profit, you're probably in the 80s range, right? So 80, 85, that you would need to get it. If that doesn't suit his fancy based on what your conversation with him so far, then it might be a lease option. That could be the other alternative to it.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. I know there's a lot of what ifs in it, but I just wanted to see if you thought anything was doable. I wasn't going to go at it, but, you know, it's sort of like he seems motivated, so.
Okay. Well, you know, I would present two offers to him, and this is kind of coming up quite often right now just because the way the market is so hot. So it's like, listen, you know, we could do a cash offer, we can close quick, it's this price, right? You know, I could bring you around 76,000, an estimated number. Or we could do a term offer, and it's going to be around this price. We can get closer to what you're asking, $100,000, right? We can get closer to what you're asking, but it's going to be a term offer. And that's where, you know, you would hold everything in your name, and then we're basically subleasing.
Right. And I don't know as far as what we might be able to I'll look at the rent-a-meter. I forgot to do that to see what a possible monthly payment would be to him.
Right.
You know, and I know that would go in the term deal, so.
Yeah, if you're going to do a lease option, you would definitely want those numbers. You're going to want to know what his monthly payment is, his mortgage. You're going to want to know those numbers.
Yeah, because I do think right now he's free and clear, so I could lowball that a little bit, then we'd have cash flow monthly.
Mm-hmm, so, right.
Okay. Well, cool. Thank you for your time, Ryan.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, Sarah. Yeah, good to have you on the call, and tell Russ I said hello.
Thank you.
Great. All right. Okay, let's open it up for the next question. Just jump on in there, and we'll get your question answered. I know this has come up quite a bit right now because the market is really hot. We're seeing a lot of cash offers and term offers, just alternative ways of locking up the property. Sometimes you have to come up right now a little bit higher. You know, I know if you're paying attention to the mass media, which is not always a good source, by the way, and if you do want a good source of real estate news and information, for investors, not NBC or CNN. If you want good real estate investor news, then why don't you shoot me an email at nathan@larrygoins.com, and I will email you back some good resources that you can tap into for real estate news. Because right now the mass media is kind of talking about, are we in a bubble? Is the bubble about to burst? All that kind of stuff. And the reason why they're saying that is because of the way the market's so hot. Does that mean anything's going to change right now? Not really. Not really. I actually just got off the phone with a buddy of mine. We've been friends for like 20-something years. And he is a very, I don't want to say non-educated. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. Let's just say conventional, traditional investor. Here's what I mean by that. He's bought multiple multifamily properties like quads, and sixplexes and a bunch of that. He's got like 26 units now, and we want to do a deal together. However, he buys them close to retail asking price. He doesn't really negotiate, which is bad. And he doesn't do, like, if he has one vacant or two vacant properties, he's out of pocket every month. So he hasn't bought his properties correctly. That's kind of what I mean by conventional, I guess. So anyway, we've been friends for a long time. And we were talking about doing a deal together, and he's listening to my methods, and he's shocked in a way because he's like, how do you get deals like that? How do you do that? So I was walking him through the steps, and I said, man, personally, you've been overpaying for your property as an investor. But he's learning that along the way. Anyway, he mentioned something because he listens to mass media information about real estate. And he was saying, hey, I think the market's about to burst and the bubble. I heard on the news. Well, the reality is be careful for what you hear on the mass media. But if you want some good resources, shoot me an email and I will give you, you know, real estate news, right? Stuff for real estate investors. That's much more valuable than what you're going to hear in hype media, okay? All right, just wanted to share that with you because I know that comes up quite a bit right now with the way the market is and people doing alternative forms of contracts, you know, whether it's, a lease or master lease options, sandwich lease options as a method, or options, subject twos, right, stuff like that. All right, let's, again, open it up for the next question. Just jump on in there. As I mentioned, if you have any other questions that's not even deal related, maybe you don't have a deal that you want to analyze, and you have other questions about your real estate business, you can feel free to jump in and ask me those as well.
Hello, Nathan.
Yeah.
Hi, Nathan. This is Gilbert.
Hey, San Gilbert. Francisco. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I don't have any questions on deals because I don't have any deals going. But a couple of things you said sounded interesting. First, not to make a joke of it because it's serious. And you mentioned how the market is hot right now. And I'm thinking of California. And linking that to what you said about listening to mass media and other media. Apparently, a lot of these people are not going to be allowed to go back to their homes. So I am wondering, what are they going to do and how is that going to affect the market up here in, I was going to say Northern California, but actually more Northern California than Southern California.
Sure.
So I find that interesting. I will shoot you an email to for that information you offer.
Yeah.
And also, one more thing you mentioned at the beginning is that you're on your the 6 month of this calls. So I came in really late because I'm only on my second, actually beginning my third month. So will I be able to recycle this calls to the beginning?
Oh, okay, yeah. So let me be clear. I was, in the beginning of the call, I was mentioning how we are, these calls go on for a long time, like forever. As long as you're in the program, these calls continue to go on. I was mentioning how we're 6 months past the year already, like we're already in August. So,
all right.
Yeah. So I was, it's okay. As long as you're an Inner Circle member, you actually get access to all these calls, and you get access to the archives. You actually get all the pre-recorded calls. You just log into your membership account. If you haven't seen that yet, just shoot me another email or include that in the email so I can make sure you get access to that, because you should already have it. And you can pre-listen to all the other calls that have been done by Larry and myself. So you do get access to that also. But what I was referring to in the beginning was basically, you know, have you achieved some of your goals for the year? I know we're like 8 months in. And if you haven't, you know, what's some of the biggest things that's been holding you back? And also, what are the biggest things you've learned compared to last year? All right. Now, to go back to your previous question also about, Well, I think you're referring to the properties that have been that have caught fire and burned. Is that correct? Like, where are they going to go?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I just want to make that clear. So here's the thing. That's going to be government and insurance, right? On the public sector, right? So we got government stepping in for help, NGOs and charity organizations for help, for shelter and things of that nature. That's usually the first call to action that happens there. After that, it's to the insurance companies. The insurance companies will, disperse the funds, and then people are going to make a big decision. Are they going to go back into their neighborhoods and rebuild, or are they going to say, I'm done with California, right? So that's another thing. This is an opportunity for builders. It's not so much an opportunity for, obviously I can name a few strategies, but like owner financing or, master lease options, right? Rentals, right? This is strictly a builder's scenario, right? This is development. So it's basically taking it back to raw land in a way, right? It's basically taking it back to raw land, and, land will be sold and bought and sold, and that's an opportunity for building. Now, to know where those people are going to go, if they still have jobs, obviously they still have jobs in the area, then they might stay in the area, or they could relocate, or they could just rebuild. The only thing is, when it comes to, it depends on how they purchase the property. This is a big factor, because this came up recently, or back in 2017, I think it was, when Houston got flooded. And did people stay or did they go? And many people did not go back to the same neighborhoods. They sold, they took the insurance money and they left. And so that could happen with this scenario, because it depends on how they bought the house. Because we're in a height of a market right now, it would probably cost them a lot more money to get into the to a new property right now than it would maybe in a down cycle where the market isn't so hot. So who knows? I don't think we have enough data right now to say where people are going to go. We'll see it in their buying trends. But for right now, and you might know more about this. You're probably going to know more about this than me because you're in that market. But I would say right now they probably might consider relocation. And because that, to me, I think that is an estimated like a 2-year to 3-year turnaround period. By the time everything's done and settled and cleaned up, it could be 2 to 3 years before neighborhoods are back to the way they were. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you, but also two things that are coming up with that are the excessive contamination in these areas. And apparently the foundations of these homes have burned so much, and those are not covered by insurance. So a lot of people are going to find that a little bit of a bite in their pocket. Mm-hmm. So right. I'm thinking this could open up the door to lease options to make it easy on people to get into new homes in the neighborhood or elsewhere.
Right.
So
right.
How do we access that? That was kind of my leading question.
Sure. Yeah. So if it takes people from a lot of people probably right now are either, they're renting, whether they're in a hotel or they are, or they're
shelter.
Renting, right? So yeah, shelter or renting. Yeah. So I would say that, that could be, because it's not economic driven, it's very temporary. If it was an economic situation, then we could say, hey, this is going to go on for this long, and we could give better historic estimates because it's acts of God, as they describe it, because we don't know in its nature. So we don't know, the time frame of when this is going to turn around. So could people go to a lease option right now? They could. It's kind of a bit unsure because they may be rent. I would say they're more going to rent rather than a lease option. Because lease with the option to purchase means they're making that decision that they're not going back. And the only way I think you're going to know that is if you're talking or marketing to those people. Does that make sense? Because, I really don't know what those people are going to decide.
I'm just, Yes, it does make sense. But I'm hearing that there's a growing percentage of people that do not want to go back to those areas because they have always been very fire hazard areas.
Right.
So
and
so anyway, that's where the percentages are. They're going up every day, it seems, and less and less people are going back to rebuild.
Right. Yeah, and the best way to get that, like you said, you're local, you're hearing things, is asking around, networking, hearing what people are doing, the decisions they're making. And I know there's probably groups of people that are meeting right now. Like, you know, everyone who's been affected by the fire, they're probably having community outreach groups. Now, you could go to those groups or get someone in those groups and hear what's going on and what their plan is. So you could, you know, you could get the you can get some 411 information that way. Otherwise, because it's not an economic thing, it could be temporary. They could just relocate, and a lot of companies make, a lot of investors make even company decisions in these types of situations. I remember back when Hurricane Katrina came. I remember even investors, I had a few buddies of mine, there was one in Indiana, one in San Diego, they actually picked up their real estate business, they like stopped in their local market, and they relocated their entire real estate business down to Louisiana, into New Orleans. And they literally stopped their business and transactions in their states that they were doing business with, and they relocated. And because their opportunity, they were already doing like development in their own markets, San Diego and Indianapolis. And so all they saw was a new opportunity, that, and there was even government funding for it as well. So they just relocated, and their whole goal was to help people get, you know, get back into their homes, redevelopment. So some people take those opportunities, and they become providers, service providers, and provide a solution for people who have gone through a tragedy. So there is opportunity there. It's just a matter of diving, you know, getting into that, getting into the community and knowing what's going on and how you can help.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Nathan. That's very helpful and insightful. And keep looking at it. I'm going to wait till the smoke dies down up there because we're getting it down here in San Francisco already. So
I was going to ask you that since I know you're over there in San Fran. So like, are you able to see? You're saying you're seeing smoke. Are you seeing dust? I mean, what's happening in your area?
Well, it's hard to see, but because we're a little bit further south, but the winds are coming this way, and you can smell it. You can feel it in the air.
Yeah. Okay.
And it sometimes you don't know if it's that or if it's fog, because we have plenty of fog. But yeah, we do feel a little bit of it, and we depend on the airstream to keep it away from us. But the fires are still going on, so it's still spreading in different directions over there. And we're hoping that it gets taken care of very quickly, or as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I was reading.
We're praying
for rain.
Know a good rain dance?
Yeah. No, I only know a good rain dance when I get a big wire into my bank account. I start doing a rain dance when that happens.
That's good.
But the only thing I can say is I was reading an article about the fires just the other day during breakfast, and I was reading that there was like over 240,000 acres that have burned already.
Oh yeah, it's huge.
That's absolutely insane. That's just amazing. That's a lot.
It's a small New England state size.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you, Nathan. No.
Sure.
We'll talk to you soon again.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, all right, one thing I wanted to bring up, speaking of acres, when I just mentioned acres and stuff like that, to everyone on the call, I learned something new. I don't know if there's anyone on the call who invests or is investing, or actually I know there's a few Inner Circle members that do invest in Ohio. They invest in Ohio. I don't know if they're on the call right now, but I should give them a ring or an email, and I'll do that later today, but I did want to put it out there anyway. In Ohio, it came to my knowledge through a client of mine who's in Cleveland. There is a new development happening, Now, speaking of development, this is where I wanted to bring it up because we just talked about the fires in California. So there's a new development happening in Cincinnati. Now, if y'all been to Disney World or wherever, Disneyland, or whichever one is in Florida, I really don't know. But if you've been to there, Disney, in Florida, there is a new development happening in Cincinnati. It's a $2 billion project, and it's going to actually be about 300 acres bigger than Disney. And that's right in the outskirts of Cincinnati. Wanted to let you know about that because that brings up a whole host of opportunity. I just want you to imagine that. This is, by the way, this is brand new. This is not brand new. This is confirmed, and you can Google this if you want. But they're opening up and breaking ground on this December, and they want to start opening it up in phases. So usually big projects like this they go through phases. So they'll have one part done, then the next year they'll have another part done, and so on and so forth. So what does this bring up for people who are thinking about investing in that area? Well, huge economic growth. Now, one of the things that I was doing the research on, the park is going to hire within the next 2 to 3 years about 15,000 people. Okay, so that's hires. That's not including spouses and the children. Okay, so that's not including spouses and children. So if we just took that every hire has a significant other, that's 30,000 people. And if we added children to that, that could be an extra 2 children on average or 3 children on average. Well, you know, the numbers are just keep doubling here, okay? So this whole area is going to need, well, they've already proposed it. It's already in the works. Hospitals, restaurants, medical clinics, right? Community services, fuel stations, movie theaters, right? And so on and so forth. Everything you probably have in your backyard, just imagine it being over there in this new area that's going to have to service somewhere over 50,000 new people, okay? So great opportunity if you have thought of Ohio. I'm not trying to steer you in any direction. If you're, by the way, if you are already investing somewhere and have your mind focused on the location, don't jump over to this location. Stay focused on what you're doing. But I did want to let you know because anytime I get new information, new strategy in a certain market or new software tool or something like that that's working or a lead source that's really working for a lot of people, I'd love to share it. So I wanted to share that with you, and you can definitely Google that information look up Cincinnati. Basically, if you're going to Google it, you could look up I forgot how I looked it up the other day. But just type in Cincinnati, Ohio, new Disney park. It's not Disney. It's a whole other company, but I couldn't remember the name of it. But it's a $2 billion project. So anyway, that's going to be huge. That is a great economic indicator. There's going to be a lot of job growth and a lot of opportunity for whether it's buying land, selling land, building houses, development, rentals, right? All that kind of stuff. All right, wanted to share that with you. All right, we can open, by the way, again, if you have any other questions that you want to ask off the call, you can do that also. Nathan@LarryGoins.com. Send me an email there. And we can open up for the next question. Just jump on in here. And we'll get your questions answered. I do apologize for my monotonish voice today. I am not feeling so well, but I think I've had the flu for like a day or two. And I usually I'm a little bit more excited about business than I normally am today. But anyway, we're here. We'll make it happen. It's better than being home and in bed, I'll tell you that. All right, and like I mentioned, if you have any other questions, again, it doesn't have to be just about a deal. It could be about anything in regards to the market. Anything, the biggest challenge you have in your business right now, biggest challenge that you may be struggling with, any bottlenecks. You can get those answered here. Share your biggest challenge. Also, have you been making offers? That's another thing, too. Have you been making offers? Can't make money if you're not making offers. Offers must go out. We can read about real estate all day and night, but if we don't take action by making offers, we're not going to get to eat any of our real estate pie. All right. Also, another great resource I want to share with you, if you are looking to build partners in different areas, maybe you're investing virtually, maybe you're looking for, you know, building up your partners in different markets, or even just looking for resources, I want to direct you to Bigger Pockets. You can go to biggerpockets.com, or you can download their mobile app on the Android and Apple Play Store. Bigger Pockets is a great resource. I try to listen, and I'm pretty dedicated to this, but I try to get in a podcast every day. Now, I may listen to 30 minutes of a podcast and finish it the next day, but what I recommend is you get into their podcast on a regular basis as well. It's a great resource to hearing what other investors are doing, hearing the strategies they're implementing in their business. It pushes for motivation. That's another cool thing about it, gives motivation. And also, they can provide a lot of good resources, too. So be sure to check that out. Most importantly, for networking, they have, if you're looking to build a team, maybe you're virtual, you're looking to build contacts in a certain area, you can geographically search for people that are on members of Bigger Pockets in those areas. All right? So keep that in mind. And also, Larry's on Bigger Pockets as well. And me also. You can become a member. They have a free version. They have paid versions. They have calculators and analyzers on there. And just a great, great, great resource for building your real estate business. All right. So I'm going to open it up again. If you have a question, just jump on in there. And let's get it answered. And if we don't have any other questions today, then we will wrap it up a bit early. But I'd love to get anyone else who's got a question. Just jump on in here.
Nathan, just one more question on the same thing that you just mentioned on Bigger Pockets. This is Gilbert again.
Sure.
I just signed up with a company called Done Deals.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get a program to analyze properties for purchase.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But they also offer resources for funding.
Okay.
Do you know anything about them? Because I haven't heard them mentioned before anywhere in these calls.
Yeah, I've never heard of Done Deals. If you wanted to shoot me a link about them. I'm trying to look them up online.
I'll do that.
Yeah, I'm trying to look them up online. But if you want to shoot me also an email about it, what exactly do they provide? I'm sorry, could you repeat what they do?
Well, off the front, they're offering a free analysis application.
Okay.
So you can analyze properties.
Oh, so you can analyze properties. Okay. So like a property
right.
analyzer. Okay. That's fine.
Right.
Yeah. So to speak to that, you know, Larry has his You can use his. But if you wanted other ones, if you want to shoot me their link or something, that's fine. But also in Bigger Pockets, I think they have about six calculators and analyzers inside of Bigger Pockets as well. And, you know, some of them are for, like, rehabbing and stuff, but there's a few that pertain to just wholesaling if you're just wholesaling. So, yeah, you could dive into those as well. But, yeah, I haven't personally heard of Done Deals or Done Deal Analyzer, but if you want to send it over to me, I can look at it. When it comes to the funding that they offer, I'll tell you what. There is more money out there available than there is deals. I feel like there's a new funding company that opens up like every week. It seems like there's a new funding company that I hear about. There's a lot more funding available than there is, you know, than there is deals coming through the pipelines. So I don't think funding is very difficult to get these days. I think that there's plenty of cash in the marketplace. You know, I think it's more about, finding a great deal. You can literally go online and you can find people, not even getting referrals, but you can literally go online and get funding from a company for real estate, whether it's a crowdfunding site or a private money lender or a hard money lender. There's a boatload of hard money available out there. You know, I was just talking to a private money broker of mine in South Carolina, and he told me, he's like, he has a $15 million fund, and he said, Nate, we have plenty of money. We can even get more than 15, but the thing is we need better deals. And he just confirmed what I kind of just said, and we just had that conversation about maybe 2 weeks ago. So I would say when it comes to anyone who's saying they're offering funding and all that as an added incentive, I don't really think that's an incentive because there is plenty of funding out there. It just sounds good. In my opinion. So right. I would say, yeah, I would say if you go or if you're looking for funding sources, you know, depending on the deal, and we could go through this together when you have a deal on the table and stuff like that, but the funding is fairly simple to get right now. I just think it's right. More readily available than there are deals, yeah.
Very good. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll send you the link that I got from them and along with the questions I have.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
All right. Thanks, Nathan.
All right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Let's open it up to some more questions. Just jump on in there. Jump on in. Okay. All right. So I guess we don't have any other questions coming in, so let's do this. Let's wrap up this call for today. And I'm going to get home a little earlier so I can go take some NyQuil and knock myself out. I'm kidding. And you're probably thinking, like, NyQuil, it's like the middle of the day. but anyways, great call. Thank you, everyone, for participating in the call. I'm going to go try to recover and get better for a better day tomorrow. Again, our next call is on the fourth Wednesday of the month, 12 p.m., and that's where we do the seller and buyer call. And if you have any those calls when it comes to the seller and buyers, when you're working with a seller and buyer and conversations you have, how to negotiate better, feel free to bring in any situations or things that have come up in your business. You can share those with me on that call as well. And by the way, if you have any questions in between calls, don't hesitate to shoot me an email as well. All right? Great chat with everyone that was on the call today. Happy to answer the questions, and let's keep pushing along. Let's keep making offers and keep that pipeline going, because the only way you're going to make more money in real estate is if the offers keep going out. All right. So great chatting with everybody, and then we'll chat real soon. Okay.
Take care, Nathan.
Okay, take care.
Thank you, Nathan. Feel better.
Thank you so much. See you.